All right, book of Jude, and we will read this evening verses 1 through 7. We're going to become very familiar with this little book of the Bible, but there is so much in here, and that's why it could be a little book, because it's packed full. So Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And so he writes here, and I want to preach tonight on remember what you used to know. Remember what you used to know. It is amazing to me that Jude looks at this situation, and as he writes and he reminds them of who they are, and he reminds them that there are ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that he gives them three examples: the example of Egypt, or leaving the land of Egypt, the example of the angels, which left their first estate, and the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. But before he says that, he says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. How that? I look at it and you think, how can a person forget deliverance from Egypt? How can a person forget the fall of Satan and the angels that fell with him? How can a person forget Sodom and Gomorrah? In each one of these cases, there were people that left what God had for them. There was judgment that followed. And he says, I want you to be reminded of these things that you once knew. Because if you follow after these ungodly men, there's judgment that goes along with that. And so we will look at this tonight. Father, I ask that you would help us. Lord, I pray that we would be put in remembrance tonight. God, that we would realize that no matter how long we've been saved, the Word of God hasn't changed. No matter what happens in our country, the Word of God hasn't changed. No matter the direction that different churches go, the Word of God has not changed. And so, God, I pray that we would not change. God, that you would help us to earnestly contend for the faith, not to walk away from the faith, not to compromise on the faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to give an overview of these three examples, and we'll look at them probably more closely in the weeks to come. Saved from Egypt, you got verse 5. So remember, in verse 4, there are three things. You've got ungodly men. You've got men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is an animal-style lust. And you've got deniers of the only Lord God. So in these three examples then, saved from Egypt, you've got an example of ungodly people. Now, they have offered the Passover lamb. And I just want to walk through this, give a quick synopsis. They've offered the Passover lamb. What a victorious night that was, wasn't it? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And he passed over the Israelites and he slayed the firstborn of all of Egypt and they walked out of there. What a victorious day. And of course, for us, that is the day that we got saved. That we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him as our Savior. And what a day that was. But then they leave out of Egypt and they did not have the faith to follow God and fight for what God had for them. They came fairly quickly to the promised land. They sent 12 spies in to the promised land. And as they looked at that promised land, they said, boy, this is indeed a good land. But there's giants in that land. There are struggles ahead. We don't think we can do this. So they had the faith to get saved. They had the faith to get out of Egypt. But when they looked at following God and living the Christian life and the battle that entails, they said, we can't do it. Some of them even gathered together and said, well, let's just return to Egypt. As a result of that, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, and everyone over 20 years old died except for Joshua and Caleb. Now, here's the status of a lot of Christianity today. We want the gift of deliverance from hell. But we don't necessarily want the resulting life that goes along with it. I want a ticket to heaven. But I don't know if I can be faithful to church. I want a ticket to heaven. But I'd like to sip on that alcohol just a little bit from time to time. I want a ticket to heaven, but I'm not going to completely leave the world behind. And we look at it, God has a great promised land. Does it come with some battles? It does. That's why he says you're going to have to earnestly contend for the faith. And so the result was they were destroyed instead of getting the promised land. Jude says, you need to remember this. The angels, verse 6, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. I'm not going to go into every detail right now of all of the angels and everything they did, but we know this. Satan was the covering cherub. He stood in the presence of God like the others. With twain, they did cover their face. And I understand that that was seraphims, but he was a covering cherub. He had to cover himself in the sight of Almighty God. We look at Satan, and we look at at that time he was called Lucifer. We look at the angels. They were created perfect beings into the light of God Almighty. And God gave them a habitation. And Satan said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And God said, no, you won't. And your everlasting destination is going to be hell and going to be the lake of fire. So here they are. They experience his presence. But they followed Lucifer. They wanted to overthrow Almighty God. They are reserved for judgment and darkness instead of singing in the light of God. Remember the morning stars that sang together? And now here they are, reserved for everlasting darkness and punishment. Jude says there's a lesson to be learned here. Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, you have to remember, they're taking place. They relatively knew the history of the world. The flood wasn't all that far removed from them. The Tower of Babel had taken place. Abraham was dwelling nearby. Lot had come, was dwelling in their city. They were not, oh, we had no idea what was right and what was wrong. They gave themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, sodomy, LGBTQ plus, plus, plus. They gave themselves over to, look, it's not normal. They gave themselves over to it. And instead of, now look at the land there. Why did Lot choose that land? That was a great place to live. It was a great place as far as, boy, they had prosperity, they had lush grass and fields and everything, and boy, they could have served God, lived for God, done what was right, and had a great life there, couldn't they? But instead, they said, well, we're better off turning to charcoal. And now nothing grows there. And Jude says, hey, I want you to remember what you once knew. See, some of you have lived for a long time. Some of you have been saved for a long time. Some of you have seen things happen and take place. I'm old enough to know that there was a time where, in general, Christians across the board had the same standards. And hardly anybody wavered on it. The ultra-liberal wavered on it. But that was unheard of. I mean, there was a time when people even of different, what we would refer to different denominations, still believed in holy living. There was a time where, though doctrinally they may not be 100% correct, people understood that the Word of God had power to it. And Jude is saying, look, you've got to earnestly contend for the faith, but not only that, as these people creep in, you've got to remember what you once knew. You know, God operates differently in different times, but He never changes. Look at Hebrews 1:1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Says this, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, there were sundry times, there were diverse manners, but you know what? The message of the holiness and the righteousness of God was always there. The message of thou shalt not sin was always there. The prophets would come and the prophets would preach to the kings and the leaders of, and the people of the country and try to set them back on track. And you know, and there were times when God used Moses. There was times when God used the different prophets. God uses a variety of people, but God is always trying to accomplish the same thing. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's an interesting statement because he says, if I had the ability to break a promise, you'd be wiped out like Sodom and Gomorrah right now. But God made a promise to the nation of Israel, and since he made that promise, And I do not understand the preachers that can read a verse like that and say, well, Israel's done away with and the church replaced Israel. That makes no sense whatsoever. God says there's one reason that Israel is not obliterated. It's because I am the Lord and I change not. I am the Lord. I change not. I made a covenant to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I made a covenant to David. I don't break my promises. If I broke my promises, let me tell you, Israel, you'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah because Israel went into some of the same very sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, let me tell you, God hadn't necessarily made that promise to America. And so America had better watch out. See, the scriptures are given to warn us. Go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 describes the beauty and the preciousness of the scriptures. Psalm 19. And I want to read verse 7 and on down a little bit. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know, God wants converts, by the way. You know, God doesn't just say, well, you know, just pray a prayer, get your ticket to heaven, and let's not change. No, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And as he describes these things and the effect that they have on our life, he makes this statement, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. You know, we sing the song that goes along with that passage of Scripture, and I'm glad that they don't leave out the next verse. Although I've heard the song sung many times without the next verse, but the next verse is there. Moreover, by them, by what? The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. Moreover, by them is thy servant what? Warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. So the Scriptures give us two things. They say, when you get off track, hey, I'm giving you a warning. But when you stay on track, he says, boy, the blessings are rich. And yet, how often do we tend to go off track? And when we go off track, no, there's no one losing their salvation. Praise God, the same God that said, I am the Lord, I change not, for the nation of Israel, said, no man shall pluck them out of my hand, for the Bible believer. Praise God that he doesn't break his promises. But God does chasten his children. And we need to remember that. And so he says, moreover, by them as thy servant warned, in the keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. See, the word of God is there to change us. It's there to reveal to us, hey, you've got a sin there. Nobody else knows about it. Does that make it okay? No. We read the Scriptures and the Scriptures warn us. And upon hearing that warning, David says, hey, God, would you take care of my secret sins? It's easy to have a conscience and be convicted when you get caught. How about the secret sins? And he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Those sins that we just do again and again and again. It's like, well, nothing happened last time. I think I can get by with it. And so upon the Scriptures dealing in the heart of David, he says, God, I got some secret sins that need to be taken care of. God, I've got some presumptuous sins that I keep falling back to. God, I need some cleansing. And we need to get back to letting the Word of God change us. We need to get back to the Word of God converting the soul. Don't ever just settle into, oh, well, it's not that big a deal. Sin is a big deal. Now, go to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Jump to verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. As those that are alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. God is saying, I want your ears, I want your eyes, I want your hands, I want your tongue, I want all of you, and I want every part of you to be yielded to God Almighty. For our sin shall not have dominion over, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. See, grace, you know, those people that turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, that was Sodom and Gomorrah, by the way. the deniers of the only Lord God, that was Satan and the angels that fell. So those three parts are there. But people that say, well, I can sin because we're under grace. I don't know what Bible they read. This one says this: sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. It's giving every indication that it's grace that makes it so that sin doesn't have dominion over you. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. What a great passage of Scripture. But the Scriptures warn us. You know, why do you see the example of them leaving Egypt and spending 40 years in the wilderness? I can't remember if it was 1 or 2 Corinthians chapter 10 lets us know that was there for an example. Why do you think Peter and Jude both reference the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah? Because people were starting to let lasciviousness into the church. Why do you think he referenced the fall of the angels? Lest we become prideful and forget that God's above us and we're underneath God. And we begin to deny that Jesus is Lord. I want to notice 5 times that the Holy Spirit told to remind believers something they once knew, but they were letting slip. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll look at these. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 1 and verse 6. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from what? The faith. What did Jude warn? Earnestly contend for the faith. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What does that mean? That means the devil's going to come along. He's going to twist some things up, and he gives a couple of examples. He says there are going to be people come along forbidding to marry. And you got the Roman Catholic priesthood, and it's a doctrine of devils. You got people are going to come along saying you can't eat any meat. Carbon taxing the cows for the methane gas that they produce. Making it nigh unto impossible for a local rancher or a local farmer to raise beef and sell it and be able to make a profit. Their goal is, let's have everybody eating bugs. Sorry, I'm not going that way. That's a doctrine of devils. Now, look, I don't care if a person wants to be a vegetarian. If you want to and you feel that that's for you, go for it. Don't you dare tell somebody else they have to or that it's more spiritual. Or vice versa. And then he says in verse 6, if thou, he's talking again to Timothy now, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourish up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. He says, Timothy, you need to remind the people that there are going to be some in the latter times that depart from the faith. There are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils out there. You notice he used the word remind. They knew it, but they had to be reminded of it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. He says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is he saying? He's saying, I want you to work hard to get into the Word of God, to know how the Word of God is divided. You've got an Old and New Testament. You've got the Law. You've got the Prophets. You've got the Gospels. You've got the Book of Acts. You've got divisions in the Bible. Things are broken down. Different parts of the Bible work together to give you the whole of the thing. He says it's going to take a little bit of work to get in there and know what the Word of God is giving you. But he says, work for it. Why? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. It's like a canker sore that just puts a hole in your lip. Also been referred to as like a cancerous thing that eats away at you. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So here come a couple guys in. They're saying, look, resurrection already took place. You guys are just stuck. Now, how in the world they get a weird doctrine like that? I don't know, but one thing I do know this, they failed to rightly divide the Word of God. Timothy is being instructed, remind people that you need to rightly divide the Word of God. Remind people that Daniel affects Revelation and Revelation affects Daniel, and you need to look at both of them. You'll get a picture of the whole, and it's great when you can put the pieces together and get an understanding of the thing. Remember that there are some divisions. Remember, there are three groups of people. There is Israel, there is the church, and there are Gentiles. When an Israelite gets saved, what do they become part of? A church. Saved and baptized, they join a church. When a Gentile gets saved, they do the same thing. It becomes a different group. They're separated, they're divided out. You have the divisions of different dispensational works, how God worked. God worked here through the Law. God worked here through the prophets. God worked here through the church age. God's going to work here through the tribulation. And he says, you've got to rightly divide this, because if you don't, you're going to come up with some harebrained doctrine that the resurrection's already passed. I don't know where that leaves everybody. But because those people were saying that, people's faith was being destroyed. And he says, earnestly contend for the faith and remind them. Get in the book. Study the book. Don't let somebody teach you wrong doctrine. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Right, a person gets saved. Verse 5, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. It is a life of Christian what? Growth. Look, he didn't say, hey, get saved, you got your ticket to heaven, you're good to go. No, add. Look, are you still growing? I've been saved 50 years. Are you still growing? He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you keep on growing, you're going to continue to be fruitful. You're not going to be barren. But he that lacketh these things... He that isn't growing, not gaining ground in his Christian life, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Whoa. There's a couple things there. Forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It gives the indication they may forget that they're saved. Another thing that can happen, they forget that God actually purged them from those sins and they go back to them. Forgotten. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in what? Remembrance of these things. Now, look at the next phrase. Though ye know them. You know, it's almost like the same Holy Spirit worked in Jude and worked in Peter when he's writing these things. He says, look, I know that you know it, but don't forget it. Why? Because we tend to forget it. And he goes on, he says, though ye know them and be established in the present truth, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in, what? Remembrance. Peter says, a man himself may forget the purpose of his salvation. Man is not just saved to get out of hell and go to heaven. Man is saved from sin to be reconciled to God and to live for God. We're not selling fire insurance. Hey, you want to go to heaven? Sure. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? Well, if you pray this prayer, you'll go to heaven. Okay. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to hell. Save me. Hey, now I'm headed to the bar with my buddies. But if I die, I'm going to heaven. That happens so much. Now, is salvation simple? Absolutely. Does the prayer of faith save? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's missing in that? Repentance and any understanding of how bad sin is. And that you don't get saved just for a ticket to heaven. You get saved to be reconciled to God. The children of Israel did not have the Passover lamb and stay in Egypt. It's like, get out of Dodge. Lot wasn't supposed to hang around in Sodom and Gomorrah when it went down. And God saves us for a purpose. Now, salvation can be that simple. Man, I'm a sinner on my way to hell. I need God. Jesus, would you save me? If a person means that from their heart, they're saved as saved can be. But we need to remind them that you're saved for a purpose. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of what? Remembrance. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the what? What kind of prophets? Holy prophets. Does God still want his prophets to be holy? And we're not talking about the prophets to predict the future. We're talking about prophets to say, thus saith the Lord. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. And what are the scoffers going to be doing? Walking after their own lusts. And Peter says, you know, there's going to be scoffers coming along. Same thing Jude's saying. There's going to be scoffers coming along. Oh, they're telling you you're supposed to wait until marriage to have physical relationship. Yes, that's what we're saying because that's what God said. Oh, that's just old-fashioned. It's godly. It's right. Oh, you know, you still think that God cares about how a person dresses? Absolutely. And God cares what comes out of our mouth? Yeah. And God cares what we put into our body and what we do with His holy temple? And anybody that doesn't, the Bible says they're a scoffer. Hebrews 2:1 doesn't say it directly, but it says this, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And then you've got Jude. Jude, verse 5, he says, I will therefore put you in remembrance though ye once knew this. Remember Egypt. Remember the fall of Satan and the angels that went with him. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that there are ungodly men. Remember that there are people going to come in and say the grace of God allows for lasciviousness. Remember there are people going to come in and say that Jesus isn't Lord. It doesn't matter. You don't have to obey him. And he says, I'm reminding you of these three examples and the end result of these three types of people. Why? You know it, but you need to be reminded. Jude obviously is observing a tendency for people to get caught off guard by these certain men who crept in unawares. Let's finish with Philippians 3, verse 1. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Philippians 3, 1 says this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write what? The same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it is what? Safe. Well, Pastor, sometimes you preach the same thing. You notice in the Bible, sometimes the Bible addresses the same thing. And Paul says, I'll write it to you. I'll preach it to you. I'll tell you again. And he says, you know what? It's not grievous to me. I know that you need to be reminded. Now, we have to be careful. Sunday school teachers got to be careful. Youth workers got to be careful. Preachers got to be careful. Because here's what can happen if you're not careful. You could, instead of the spirit of Paul, I've preached it. It just doesn't seem to get through to their head. Forget it. Paul says, look, I know you need it again. I know you need it again. Now, does it grieve Paul that they do need it again? Man, does it grieve you when you have to deal with the same sin over and over and over and over again? It's like you could get victory over that sin. Why in the world are you still dabbling in it? But you know what? I'm going to remind you again. When everybody gets perfect in here, I'll quit preaching on sin. Except when a visitor comes. All right? When I am absolutely, confidently convinced that there's not one person in this building that ever takes a sip of alcohol, I'll let it rest for a little bit. But I'm not going to let it last too long because we got little kids coming up that need to be warned about it. When I'm convinced there's not one soul in this church that ever smokes a cigarette, and I'll quit. But I'm not going to quit too long because we got to warn the up-and-coming ones. Somebody's going to come along, try to get you to do this thing. And so we're going to remind. And in remembering, we need to remember there were ungodly men. That land of Canaan, we can't take it. Let's go back to Egypt. Remember, there are deniers of the Lord God. Hey, we can overthrow him. We don't have to submit to him. Remember, there are people that promote fornication. Sodom and Gomorrah. And man, the wickedness that is being promoted. Just this past week, there was a men's meeting. I don't know exactly where it was at. A men's meeting. They brought in, I can't even say it. They brought in a man to come in, do acts in front of the group of men. Very inappropriate stuff. I mean, these men go there, supposedly going there to get built up spiritually. And, I mean, what in the world is going on? Certain men crept in unawares and changed things. And so be aware. Be aware. Why do you got to earnestly contend for the faith? Because people forget. Because people forget. And we need to remember. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have an invitation. Father, I ask that you would just work in our hearts right now. God, remind us that there are doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. Remind us that there are teachers of false doctrine. Remind us that there are scoffers. Remind us that we need to keep growing, or we'll end up backsliding. Remind us through the illustrations of Scripture. And may the Scriptures warn us. I pray that you would help us in these reminders. Lord, maybe there's something tonight that somebody needs to just come and talk to you about. Maybe there's something that's been let slip and they need to get it taken care of. Please work among us right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, do you have something to come and pray about? Maybe there's a sin that's still hanging on in your life. Maybe you ought to come and pray, talk to God about it, and determine, I'm going to walk out of here and not do it anymore. So I've failed so many times, I know I'm just going to go back to it. You don't have to. To my knowledge right now, I don't think there's anybody here going off in false doctrine. But I know our country is being filled with it. All right, we got to contend, okay? Go out this week, contend for the faith, tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus still wants to save people. People can still be converted. The Word of God still has power. And the more we sow, the more opportunity there is to reap. Okay, it is a process. We'll see you on Wednesday night. And let's be faithful in our place Wednesday evening. And look, just have a great week. Walk with God. Get with God every day. Talk to God every day. Ladies, remember there is a skit practice for the mother-daughter banquet be taking place right up here. All right, have a great rest of your week.